Well, hey everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back. Holy smokes, has it been a long time since we've had a software update, but we just got one. Doesn't look like it's a big one. This is FSD 13.2.9, so a small point release. Not expecting much, and in the release notes, I didn't see any difference. But the fact that we got an FSD update on both the Model Y and the Cybertruck means I'm going to do a test drive. We're on the spring release and beyond now. We're on 14.6 in the 2025 year cycle. So I'm here at the curb. We got our normal route in here, and I'm just going to go ahead and engage it here on the curb, and let's see if it'll pull off the curb. It's got the steering wheel turned. It's got the blinker on. And away it goes. The Model Y is definitely outperforming the Cybertruck. The Cybertruck is doing good when you're on the road, but it still has not solved the radius of turn thing. Model Y's got it locked solid. Cybertruck kind of cuts it too close and it has to adjust in mid-radius of the turn and things like that. It just makes it feel like it's going to constantly clip the curb. But it is what it is. We just haven't had any updates on it. I know a lot of people have actually seen the lane drift and stuff like that now. Okay, we're here at the unprotected left, and since we've done this, we actually do have B-pillar camera capability now. Hopefully in the post-production, is it gonna go for that? It's gonna go for it. All right, and it's wide to the right, no problem. See this radius of turn? Smooth, confident, and it knows what to do there. It's good. It's good. So that is that. I need to go ahead and delete that point. And now we're going to get the U-turn in there. Full self-driving may be degraded. That was the nav change. And let's see what happens here. I'm just going to do that one unprotected left. It did it fine. The point I was trying to make is the B-pillar footage is available now, but I've got to download it from the Sentry Cam and hopefully get it synchronized. Synchronization is, of course, the trick. I still have my overhead camera. Oh, okay. Wow. Look at the confidence it took with a car waiting there. Just confident. Confident. I don't know how to describe it other than to say that. It exerted itself. That guy was waiting. He wasn't moving. He didn't have a trajectory. So the car took its chance. Wasn't a chance. So the other thing I want to say is you're probably noticing I don't have my screen recording going. My screen died. I sent it back to Adam, and Adam has been really, really busy. He tried to work on it. He couldn't get it fixed. So he's going to be working on another one. So I will eventually have another screen working. But for the time being, I don't have a screen, so that is unfortunate. I know that the display might be a little... I'm going to take it off of and kind of give you a little bit of brightness just to try to give some consistency so that the dimming and the auto-dimming... It's about 7 p.m. here, and I've got this kind of long drive in here, and I don't know. It's going to kind of be dusk to evening kind of a drive, daylight. It's not raining anymore. It's been raining the last few days, so the roads have been wet. The ADAS drivers were out here testing in the rain earlier this morning in the Model 3. So anyway, I haven't got to talk to you guys in quite a long time. I hadn't put out a video because I just didn't have anything to test, and I don't know. I don't need to put out videos just to put out videos, but I've been doing a lot of beekeeping. Those of you that follow my beekeeping channel probably noticed I've been doing a lot of that. I don't drive the Model Y as much as I drive the Cybertruck because that's my primary vehicle. And it's doing pretty good. But every time I do get back in the Y, I just feel that the confidence that this car has. And because the release notes didn't change, I don't even know what to look for on this version. I mean, there's no additional functionality. They didn't turn on Banish. The Cybertruck still doesn't have actually Smart Summon. Nothing came. It's a point release. You know, maybe they improve some of the lane issues with the Cybertruck. I don't know. We'll see. That'll take more than one drive to test because that one doesn't duplicate itself all the time. But, you know, we're sitting here in the middle of May and Robotaxi is as soon as, 4 weeks away probably. I don't know that it's going to be June 1st. Probably mid to late June is what we should expect. I don't know if there's going to be an event. Tesla usually does an event, but we usually kind of start to hear about it in, you know, right about now. Is it going to go for that? Okay, it had a green, went to yellow, and now it decided to wait, and that was the right decision, I think. It probably was about 2 seconds or a second and a half away being able to proceed there. But so now we're just going to wait on this traffic, and then we're going to go through this flashing yellow, and it shouldn't be any problem. This drive in and of itself should be different from any of my previous drives. I normally do these drives in the morning because the software update usually comes while I'm asleep at like 2 a.m. Nice. Pre-roll. Here we go with the railroad tracks. I will tell you, since I have made a video, I have seen the Cybertruck, and I don't know if the Model Y will do it or not, does not see railroad crossing crossbars. I had the Cybertruck try to go underneath a crossbar while an Amtrak train was on the tracks. Ridiculous. It was just too close. I mean, the train could have thrown a rock and I could have gotten hit by that. But it there's still some weird little, I'm not sure what they're going to do kind of stuff on this stack for unsupervised. I mean, you know, once you're on the road and navigating and getting around cars and things, it really does a very good job. We're ready for, in my mind, level 3, which is driver in the seat, take the nag away, let me know when you need me to take over. I think we're there, especially on the Model Y. And on a highway, I think you're definitely probably pretty close to that. As long as they're confident that they can alert the driver, you know, when they need to. I don't know. You guys remember how the steering wheel nag started to get on us? Well, the driving is so good on highway now that the looking ahead nag is actually getting on my nerves a little bit because, you know, I'm looking at the screen to navigate, yet I get yelled at. And I don't know, I'm looking at a turkey on the side of the road and I get yelled at, all sorts of things. So I don't know. Maybe it's just the effect of being comfortable with where the software is. I think I can handle it, and maybe I'm not the use case that they need to benchmark. But I think we're pretty close to ready for level 3 on the highway to at least just relieve that nag with a driver in the seat. Unsupervised, it's going to be interesting to see where they are in June and how they deploy it and how they constrain it and all these sort of things, how the teleoperators are integrated for backup and stuff like that. There definitely is some very interesting pieces to that puzzle that I look forward to understanding. I really want to get my hands on the app. Okay, we're doing an unprotected left into a suicide lane, and it looks like it's waiting on both sides to be clear because we had a nice clearing from the left and it did not go to the middle lane. Oh man, look at that tiny gap, and it's going for that. Oh wow, that was tiny. Tiny, 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 and it went for that. Woo, that was just, but it did not pause. That is what, you know, I'll let it go much further than I used to, honestly, but if it hesitates while it's in the commit, I'm gonna take over. But it didn't. It didn't hesitate. It noodled its way to the middle lane. Now, interestingly, it chose a harder time to go to the middle lane than 5 seconds before when it was wide open. So was that a change of mind or something? I don't know why it did that. I guess if it was going to go to the middle lane, I would have gone to the middle lane sooner where there was more room is my point. Robotaxi event in June. First of all, I don't know that there's going to be an event. It feels like it's an event-worthy subject. It feels like all things in Tesla's history, this is an event. Now, granted, we did have the Wii Robot event in Burbank already. Was that the event? Or is this launch deserve its own event? I don't know. I think it's got to have an event. But if they are going to have an event, how do they do it? Do they do it at Giga Texas and they have like some sort of rally and then they kind of go out to the front entrance and pick up robotaxis? But that's not in Austin. That's on private property. Do they do an event in downtown Austin at a hotel or something and they show off, you know, Ubers, you know, kind of not being used and you take a robotaxi instead? I don't know, it doesn't feel like you could launch an actual ride in Austin at Giga Texas, unless you started at Giga Texas and went into Austin, or you had a video of people using it or something. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking about how do you do an event like this in Austin to announce the launch of it, you know, to say it's available. Or is this just a press release and an advertisement that it's available, right? How, like, is it open to the public and everybody can download it? Is it open to Tesla customers? Is it going to be promoted with, like, ads and billboards and download the Tesla app in Austin? You know, I don't know. How would you guys do it? How did Uber advertise? How did Lyft advertise? It was kind of, I mean, I guess there's internet ads and, you know, and there's Uber Eats and things like that. They got advertised a little bit, but I don't know. I'm just thinking through it real time, saying how I would do it. I know there's a shareholders probably event that could be held, but we haven't heard about a date for that. And they could kind of show off the Austin Robotaxi event at the shareholders meeting, just the kind of the shareholders, because then it's not really an event just for Robotaxi. It's just kind of demoing the Robotaxi at a shareholders meeting. I don't know. It's a little bit of a mystery to me. I've been trying to figure it out, though. Trying to keep my schedule clear in case something opens up and I can make it out to Austin, if I can get an invite, or if somebody wants to let me be their plus one, if they get an invite, that, you know, we'll all take care of each other. If I get an invite and they do plus ones, I'll be giving my plus one to one of my subscribers on X. Haven't figured out how I'll choose that yet, but it'll be some sort of creative way of bringing one of the subscribers if they do the plus ones. They've kind of stopped plus ones in some scenarios. Plus ones get really complicated for Tesla to manage. I know that is a little bit cumbersome. So yeah, that's pretty much what this is about. The 8S drivers have been out on my turn every single week almost without getting any updates until today for FSD. So I have no idea if they're validating something for Austin, or if they're doing iterating on these versions we're getting here, the spring update, and just kind of keeping it going. The fact we didn't have anything until this, you know, 13.2.9 release. We never even got to 13.3. Tells me that the entire Tesla AI team has been resource constrained all about the June Robotaxi event. And somehow they're just keeping this branch alive. The fact they did send us the spring update with some of the adaptive headlight functionality, some of the avoid highways and things like that functionality in the spring update, you know, means that they're keeping the software alive and trying to keep FSD up, but they're definitely not trying to get us to unsupervised before they do it for the Robotaxi. Now, I don't think we're going to see any cyber cabs actually deployed in Austin in June, right? Even though we've got a few of those prototypes, those probably won't be in service. I think this is going to be a Juniper Model Y refresh, you know, launch event. Maybe some Model 3s, maybe the Highland, I don't know. There's a very interesting thought about, can anything without a front bumper camera be a Robotaxi? You know, if they're throwing Model 3s or Model Ys out there that do not have front bumper cameras, then you kind of get into that conversation of, are they using the bumper camera for unsupervised or not? I think they need it. I think they need it for cross-traffic, but I don't know that they're going to use it for cross-traffic. They definitely need it for the blind spot in parking. And that's definitely what I think its primary use case is parking. So we pretty much have driven all the way to the highway, and I really haven't spent many brain cycles thinking about navigation, or it hasn't scared me really at all. Some of its terms were aggressive, tight, but confident. You know, the Cybertruck on 13.28, and it's going to be interesting to go do a drive on that tomorrow also, just to see if anything is changing. Wow, look at that. It's got up to 70 on the merge lane. Bam! Just getting up to speed. And see, I still got both green and orange dots there. The green is the vision monitoring, is watching me, and the orange, I believe, is the audio monitoring, that data collection for the sirens and things like that. Oh, we got a little rain coming. Gonna get a little bit of mixed precipitation out here. Hopefully my Insta360 on the top is gonna be okay. I think it will. It should be fine. But this does bring up another conversation. I am getting a lot of dry wipes on the windshield wiper on the Cybertruck. Even when the windshield's clean, I get them coming right out of the car wash. Windshield's clean as it could be. Not a drip, nothing. And, you know, some people are saying they've had to replace their windshield wipers early on the Cybertruck. I guarantee you, I know why. If you're using FSD, it's doing a dry rubber wipe on your windshield, you know, 4 or 5 times before you've even really done anything. It's kind of annoying. It's a pretty bad problem, honestly, because the wear on the rubber is not insignificant. I didn't think I was gonna get any rain for this drive for you guys, but just showing its confidence. Yeah, we're here going, you know, in standard mode, few miles an hour over in the right lane. We're gonna be merging right. FSD is doing so good these days. The price of FSD and the subscription plan, the dropping price of Teslas, the incentives that are occasionally available depending on the time of year. I've kind of even gone into a thought process of, you know, everybody gets this Tesla FOMO of when to get a car. Is there going to be a new one out? Are they going to refresh the hardware? Am I going to be eligible for a hardware upgrade? I mean, I'm kind of in that situation with this middle of spring, late summer, or early summer last year Model Y that's on Hardware 4, but I don't have the bumper camera. The Juniper came out, and I love the Juniper, but I love this car too, but I don't have the fascia camera. Now, I do think that this car and also the Highland Model 3 will be able to do a fascia front camera upgrade if it is needed, because the jack is on the AI4 board, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, but I believe that jack is available. So if FSD ends up needing it, or to join the robotaxi network, you've got to have a car with a fascia camera. I don't know. It's an interesting thought, but the point I was trying to get to, you know, I've never leased a car in my life. But I'm starting to wonder if the leasing option in some scenarios is the better option for someone that is always going to have Tesla FOMO. You just don't drive these cars till they die, you know, anymore. Now, granted, I know some people are still rocking their 2016, you know, Model S's and stuff, but if you are, you definitely have FOMO for the AI4 hardware, right? You know, and you're eyeing these, you know, Model S, you know, upgrades and refreshes to upgrade. I know you are. So I just wonder if the leasing model, even though it is a little bit more expensive while you're doing it, allows you that upgrade opportunity. Now, I know leasing has a lot of mileage constraints, and a lot of people say, I can't lease because I drive too many miles. I don't know, maybe Tesla needs to rethink that, or the value of these cars. I know that, you know, the resale value or the trade-in value is completely market dependent based on timing, right? You know, if you were selling your used car in 2022, you know, you were killing it. You know, if you're selling your used car in 2025, you're not really doing so great. And then if you invested in FSD at the peak of $15,000, you're probably like, damn, I wish I could have subscribed. You know, the price difference in FSD at its peak and what it is right now, just that price difference of $7,000, you could have subscribed for quite a long time. I don't know. I haven't done it yet. I've bought everything I have outright to this point. I've paid for FSD. I haven't subscribed at all, but I'm not so sure that the subscription and leasing isn't something I might consider in a future purchase if I do. You know, some people are turning in their Cybertrucks and selling their Cybertrucks. We're starting to see some lemon law sort of stuff out there. Some people ask me if I had any issues with my Cybertruck. You know, I've had all the issues that everybody knows about with my Cybertruck, but Tesla has taken care of every single one of them. So I don't worry about it. It's under warranty. They fixed everything. I don't have anything on my truck that I think I'm suffering from having a Foundation Series built truck. The fit and finish is fine. I will say I've been to the service center so many times, which is an annoyance to some people. I have witnessed the ebbs and flows of a technician resourcing, both before, after the layoffs, and now trying to recover from that. The service centers don't have all of the experience they've always had. I have had some issues where I've had to ask them to fix something again that wasn't perhaps done quite right. They've always been more than helpful, and they take care of me at the Jacksonville Service Center like it's unbelievable. Shout out to Alvin for really taking care of me recently too. I just think that it's just a circumstance. And, you know, I witnessed that in my own business. You know, when you go through cuts and you reduce staff, you know, it's a little bit of a broad brush at times, and you recover, but it just, during those down times, there are consequences. And I can say I've seen some of that firsthand. But, you know, hey, listen, you know, I got mobile service coming out day after tomorrow to replace another one of the plastic top sail applique pieces, you know, the piece that's right on the top of the edges. This is the driver's side where the buttons are for the tonneau and the tailgate. That little piece is they didn't engineer that piece enough in my mind. They didn't use heavy duty enough fasteners on that piece for the wind, the abuse as a truck, or just, you know, different things that happen. It feels like it comes apart a little bit more than it should. Look at this aggressive crossing the gore there. That was not really good. It did it like a lost driver, but I gave you a snapshot on that one, Tesla AI. That is you're subject to navigation there. So you realized what you needed to do, but you cut across the gore. You got away with it because there was no traffic. If had this been rush hour, would you have done the same thing? Now listen, I know there's clips in your data set of real humans doing that, so I'm not gonna knock you for that. But I don't know that I would wanna teach a robo-taxi that crossing a gore section like that is okay. But it did it with confidence. You know, that statement I've said about FSD since we went end to end, it's so damn smooth, even the fuck-ups are smooth. That was another one. It just aggressively took charge. It did what it had to do, though, and it got us there. Why did the navigation put it in that situation? It had plenty of time to get in the right lane. It just didn't until it was too late. And I've seen that on the Cybertruck, too, especially in those big multi-lane highway interchanges where there's six ways to go, you know, either direction, and there's definitely a more optimal lane to be in than a less optimal lane, and it will take the less optimal lane and force itself to do five lane changes to where, had it just been in the more optimal lane, it'd have been exactly where it needed to be. That kind of a thing. If you live in a big city with any sort of interchanges and you know what lane to be in to be right where you need to be to take the next turn, that's experience. FSD just doesn't have that experience. You know, somebody said one time, I think it was John Gibbs, Dr. Know-It-All, I think said it for the first time that I heard it, was every FSD drive is its first drive. That's just the way a model works. You know, it has a brain, it knows what to do, but it doesn't have a memory that I'm aware of or we're aware of that it can apply to get better every single drive like a human does. You know, a 16-year-old, their first drive is just like FSD's first drive. You know, they get out there and do it. They make a few mistakes and then they kind of learn a hard lesson, hopefully not through an accident, and then they get better. You know, we have this same sort of paradigm with AI chat models, or if any of you use Cursor or Windsurf AI, which looks like they just got bought by OpenAI, which is dynamic. Like, look, we're in the wrong lane here. See, I got arrows. Turn, turn. I'm in the turn lane. So I'm running over the turn lanes, and it did it just fine. And that car in front of me did it even later than me, but it kind of jammed itself to the last minute. And there's an argument for doing that and saying that's the way a zipper merge should be done. I don't know. Maybe I'm just nitpicking. Once again, it did it. Didn't have any problem with it. If I was sitting in the back not paying attention, I wouldn't have even noticed. So I might have noticed that Gore lane jump back there if I was sitting in the back. That was pretty aggressive. Okay, I was talking about those ChatGPT models, and I was talking about coding agentic models. You know, the models are not really good without some context. And that's why these context windows getting longer and longer and longer is such a valuable thing, because it can now apply, you know, a memory on this drive, you know, to give it context to what it's doing. It can't apply context across drives, to my knowledge. Now, Tesla may be doing some data storage and something like that. I don't know. I may have this wrong. Do I have that right now? It's right. Let's see where it's going to go here. Yeah, I think it's going to go in the right spot. Yeah. All right, so we're going down to Memorial Park. My little point here, we're going down by the river. I know a lot of you guys love it when I do that little chain test. It can't see change, you guys know that. I mean, I guess I should try it again, just because I'm down here, it's still daylight. I'll be able to see the chain. Let's see what it looks like. Is there a chain? Yep, there's a chain. You guys want me to do it? Yes? Okay. Let's see where it puts us. Is it just gonna park? Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and take over, and I'm going to go ahead and hit P there and hit start. See, it's in a different stack. Okay, yeah, it already was turning towards that chain. It doesn't see the chain, y'all. I'm not going to do it. See, but it can see the occlusion network, can see the little pylons. It can't see the chains. It's just going to go straight into that. Yeah, it can't do that. So we're going to go ahead and engage and go to our next point. It was going to turn right into that thing to the right. I got a car passing me on the left. I was just dilly-dallying, and I think she waited and she wanted to go by me. I hope this screen exposure as it gets darker is not going to be problematic for you guys. I'm going to try to make sure it overexposes. This is the reason having that screen recording is so nice, is the screen brightness is consistent and the DJI Action Pro doesn't have to try to do all this balancing. Oh, look at you going through this alley again. Why are you doing this? Oh man, this isn't a road. All right, but I'm gonna let you do it. It's not like that stop sign that you go to every other time is hard. I mean, it's better than this. I mean, obviously you don't know this is an alley when you map it this way. Kind of creepy. I'm impressed you're doing this. You're gonna, but yeah, look at yourself. Got to go around a blind corner now, don't you? You created this problem. Fix it. Oh, don't chicken out. You can do it. There you go. I mean, it's handling the situation it got itself in fine. Well, it hadn't encountered a car yet. It's just cautiously navigating a narrow alley. No problem there. Good, good. Except for the navigation. I don't know why it chose that. It was a stop sign right over here. It could have gone to that. All right, so now we're going to the cul-de-sac where we know this thing can reverse, but we'll just make it do it. Last time, I don't think I forced it into a corner enough to make it do it. All right, so coming left here around Memorial Park. Opposing traffic. Ooh, he's moving kind of fast. You're going anyway. Got a traffic here, there. It is just not scared about traffic. And it's truly acting like it understands all their trajectories. And I'm sitting here calculating as fast as I can, and it's doing it really well. Okay, we got a few extra cars in here. So where are you gonna go? Keep going. Then I'm gonna cancel that, and I'm gonna hit done. All right, so now I've calculating route to Biscotti's. I'm gonna put it into drive. Come on, you want it, there you go. All right, so what's it gonna do? U-turn, it's got another car there. Boom, quick in reverse, there you go, look at you. Now you got this guy here who just jumped into his car. He's probably turning everything on, but it looks like we're accelerating before he gets there. Impressive, nice job. Good use of the U-turn. Boxed in, quick shifting into reverse and back. You know, somebody wanted me to test something, and I hadn't ever tested it, and this is the place to do it. When the car is in reverse, if I press the accelerator, what does it do? My thought is this: if the driver is not aware of it being in reverse, and the driver thinks you're gonna go forward, what happens if you press the accelerator when you're in reverse? Some of you may have already tested this, so I don't know. But when it goes into reverse here, come on, you gotta go in reverse. I'm gonna press accelerator right now. I'm pressing, oh wow. Okay, so when I was in reverse, it let me, see, I'm still in reverse and I'm, yeah, okay. So, but did it disengage? I think it disengaged. Or did I just, no, I can't, oh, shucks, I don't remember. Now I got myself in a situation with more cars than I know what to do with. Anyway, I wanted to know whether the car would go forward or back when in reverse, and it definitely went into reverse. The question I had, and I'll look at it in post-production, did it disengage FSD, or did it leave FSD engaged and just, was it a manual override, just like when we're going forward? It could give a driver that didn't put it into reverse a little bit of dyslexia if there was something and they were trying to override and you weren't aware it was in reverse and you tap it and you think you're going forward, but you're actually going backwards and then bam, you hit something. That's what I'm talking about. Could you create that scenario where you're not aware of what gear it's in when you were overriding? This is a supervised driver problem, not an unsupervised problem. It's just the middle ground of having a driver here and what the vehicle would do. But it goes into reverse on the Model Y so smoothly. I really wish I could have that in the Cybertruck. Just another one of those real shortcomings on the Cybertruck FSD. I have to say, it's a little disappointing how far behind it is. You know, there have been a lot of features promised on the Cybertruck that just hadn't made it. And now that the team, it seems like they've been being task assigned over to Robo, just it doesn't feel like Cybertruck's getting any love. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I just, you know, a lot of features just aren't there yet. And it is a different animal. That four-wheel steering and the size and weight. But it's had that radius of turn issue since the beginning. That's probably the most annoying one for me because it looks like it's going to clip a curb every single time. And even though sometimes it doesn't, it comes really, really close. And when it does realize it, it does this weird mid-turn course correction right and left as it realizes it made a mistake on the radius calculation. How many of you guys have seen that on your Cybertrucks? Those of you that have them, I bet it's everybody. All right, headlights are starting to come on. We're kind of getting that dusk hour here at about 7:30 p.m. with an overcast sky. So changing the dynamics a little bit of lighting. I hope this screen's not overexposing. I'm doing my best, guys. Confident through a yellow light there. So we got a green light that's ready to go. Woo, and a big wide turn bus. See that? Wow, the Model Y did a really good job of slowing down once that bus did that big wide turn, of not kind of aggressively taking its lane. That, you know, that was good. It slowed down. I don't know if it realized the bus's radius of turn or if it just... I don't know. I might have to look at that one close in post-production. We've got some barrels here that made this turn a little bit different. That was smooth. Guys, the world does not know what's going on with FSD. I know we've been saying this for 5 years now, 4 years now. Got this truck doing a three-point U-turn, not a U-turn, a parallel parking job. It did a good job of going around him while he wasn't doing his second maneuver. That was smooth. Every time I talk to someone about FSD and how good it is, I kind of get this glazed over look about, yeah, I've heard about Tesla. But I feel like they just don't have a frame of reference for which to compare to. It's almost like you gotta compare it to what they know in their own car. Like, everybody's like, yeah, my car does that. I'm like, nah, yeah, I know most new cars have some sort of radar braking or some sort of lane keep assist. I mean, every time I rent a car, a Kia or a Hyundai or whatever I get at the Avis rental, you know, they all got some sort of feature, you know, that's nice to have, but it's so inconsistent. I feel like when I have to describe FSD to people, I need to give it a frame of reference that I can measure from that they understand. Not many people talk about the shortcomings of their own cars. So, you can't quite get them to say what their car doesn't do. And I can say, oh, well, the Tesla does that just fine. I mean, I know you can say, well, does your car, you know, lane change around traffic on the highway? Does your car do stop signs? Does your car do traffic signals? Does your car do all these things? And they would probably have to say, no. But they'd probably in their own mind going, well, why would you want a car to drive in that anyway? And until you have your car driving in it, you know, while you have to supervise it, I kind of get it. I mean, a lot of people... If they, oh, I got my navigation, I'm chit-chatty here, and I got to edit my trip. It was at its point, and I need to continue. I got to get my Cybertruck to Model Y dyslexia. I was reaching for buttons instead of stalks and things like that. The point I was trying to make is that most people in a supervised scenario don't get why you would want to do what I'm doing right now, watch it drive. And I kind of get that because you can't text, you can't use your phone, you have to look straight ahead, you might as well be driving. Makes sense. I do think it's safer to have this on. So if you just want to make the safer argument of, you know, 1 in 100 times, it might, you know, not hit the car in front of you that you might hit if you were, you know, slapping one of your kids in the back because they're hitting their sister or something. I don't know. It's like, but once we go at least driver in the seat level 3, and you notice I'm not saying unsupervised, I'm saying level 3, meaning I can look at my phone, I can make a text, I can fiddle with the screen all I want, I can look at turkeys and deer on the side of the road, and I can have a conversation and look to the right. When you're there, I truly think people will get it. And I think we're almost there. I arguably could have been there on all of this drive so far. There may have been a few scenarios. I don't know. I think I would have done it on this drive, the complete thing so far. So I think we're just kind of in an early adopter phase in this supervised toy, meaning like it's definitely driving safer, but I don't gain any functional time. All I'm gaining is safety. And that is huge, but most people would argue or in their own mind think they're just as safe, which they're not, but they would think that. They might as well be in control of the car, or they're not willing to let go because they don't have the experience to know that it's going to do this roundabout because they hadn't done it 1,000 times. You know, you put a new FSD driver in there and they're like, whoa, what's going on? You know, how many drives does it take to where you can sit back and just watch it? The number one complaint I get from friends that I've convinced to buy FSD is about this damn nag. They're like, you know, we have experienced FSD drivers getting strikeouts again because, you know, they're so comfortable with it and the system is so tight with little things that include the function of the car. Setting in waypoints, selecting a supercharger, all of the functionality is right here. And if you fiddle with it too long, you get busted. And I will say, you also have that scenario where if you hit the accelerator and make it go over 85, like if you're going around a truck, you know, if you were already doing 80 on the highway and you kind of wanted the car to go around the truck instead of sit right next to the truck that's going 80, and you press the accelerator, as soon as you go 85, bam, FSD's gone. That's pretty frustrating, I think, for a lot of people. Looks like we're getting ready to get another little downpour here. Look, the train's coming. See those crossbars coming down over there? FSD cannot see them, even with the lights on. Now, I'm not going to say it's 100%, but I've seen a lot of posts on X complaining about it, and I've personally seen it. I've had my car try to go underneath one of them while the train is going by. And the train is sitting there being displayed on the display as a bunch of semis going back and forth, so it sees something. But I think this is down to navigation data and not understanding it. You see, the visual representation is still just a bunch of stoplights. So they have not invested in any sort of railroad track assets or anything. All right, so we got a pretty good little downpour here that is probably gonna make the wipers go to max here in a second. Green arrow, everybody looks like they stopped. Nobody's running a red light. Kind of getting tricky. There's some serious, like, water on the road right now. I hope that Insta360 is feeling waterproof today. Yeah, it's staying engaged without a problem. I haven't even got a degraded message yet. Standing water on this road. I can hear just the sheeting action of the tires hitting this water. That was a good little downpour, and it did not flinch. That was really good. Nice job, Tesla. I don't know if that was any sort of functionality added into this version. Keep accessory power on. That is a new function that was added recently. Those of you that use refrigerators on your road trips or things like that, if you happen to be a diabetic and got to keep insulin cold, that was a huge, huge ad there. I know a lot of you asked for that, and they brought it back. That's a testament to Tesla for giving us functionality back when we asked for it. I think in previous versions, I would have gotten a degraded message, even though it would have stayed engaged. I think I would have gotten a degraded message by now, but I didn't even get one. Yep, all right, a couple lights to go and a left turn in the downpouring rain here in Jacksonville. And this is gonna be a wrap on FSD 1329 on the AI4 Model Y. I think my overall impressions, or I can't tell if anything changed. There was nothing in the release notes to say what had changed that I noticed. Maybe somebody noticed a word or something changed, but I didn't. They didn't add context. They didn't add data bandwidth. They didn't add model size. None of that was in here. I would definitely say the confidence in those tight commits was apparent today. It has been confident in the last few versions, so I don't know if that's any extra confident or not, but it definitely was not a regression in confidence. It went for it. It went to that that center turn lane on that one scenario in an odd timing situation, but it went there, which means it does still have the capability of using those turn lanes. The unprotected left turn was kind of a gimme. It didn't need to use the median, so it didn't. Did not do a question mark, though. It did not go right, then left. So that was not there. And we've been driving for, gosh, a little less than an hour, but I know it's been a while since I put up the video on FSD, but I think you guys know why. There were just no updates to talk about. And while I can get out here and just drive and make content, and maybe many of you would watch that sort of stuff, the fact that I didn't have a screen that was working, now I'm sitting here watching this, and wow, the confidence it has on its distance, range, and measuring is just very reassuring, and I'm really happy about that. So, let's wrap it up here, everybody. Appreciate your support. Thanks for watching. Leave some comments down below. I'll post this both on X. You know, X is in 4K now, so you can watch the whole thing on X if you prefer that, or I'll post it up on YouTube in 4K, and I'll try to get this up tonight as quickly as possible so those of you hungry for a video will have something to look at. So anyway, thanks for watching, everybody. Have a great day. Look for the Cybertruck one in the next day or two. So long.